It was so quiet there. You're all like, is he ever going to get us started? Come on. thank you all for coming today and just gathering together in the house of the Lord to worship and honor him. Would you stand with me as we open with prayer? And let's just give him thanks. Those that are joining online, just pray with us as well. Lord God, we're so thankful that we have the privilege to come together to honor you, to worship you, to be lifted up in our spirit by your spirit. We do pray, Lord God, that you'll have freedom in our hearts to lead us and guide us as only you can, as we honor you with our time and with our giving, with our worship, and with listening to your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This song might be newish to all of us as a group, but it's not a new song. But I will say I haven't, as far as I know, I don't think I've ever led this song before. It's basically just saying one wonderful, powerful thing is God is good. Isn't that cool? He is good. So let's sing it together. Let's see how we do. We'll give it our best shot. Just about ready to go.
I want to scream it out from every mountain top. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. Nothing and no one comes anywhere close to you. The earth and oceans deep only reflect this truth. And in my darkest night, you shine as bright as day. Your love amazes me. I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. When with a cry of praise, my heart will proclaim, you are good. In a sun or rain, my life celebrates. You are good. You are good. Let's sing that again. With a cry of praise, my heart will proclaim, you are good. You are good. In the sun or rain, my life celebrates. You are good. You are good. I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good. Because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me.
Amen. Well, I was looking for some dancing. I didn't see any. I don't know. Someone's just dancing inside, right? You don't want me to dance, trust me. I've done that. I was told it was embarrassing. That's pretty brutal, isn't it? I didn't say I thought I was embarrassed, right? No. Well, sometimes you just can't help it. There's times where just the love and the just joy of the Lord just takes over, and you're just like, wow, I just got to move. I got to shout. I got to sing. And sometimes we just have to know that it's okay to express that joy. Amen? Amen. This next song is along the same lines of just celebration. He is the one that is unbelievable beyond description, and that's what this song tries to portray. God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable, that's what you are. You're unchangeable, you're unshakable, you're unstoppable, that's what you are. You're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, that's just the way it is. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. In the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. What you are. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable, you're unshakable, you're unstoppable, that's what you are. You're unchangeable, you're unshakable, you're unstoppable, that's what you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. Lord, we're not. Man, we have limits. I have limits, Lord. You know what those limits are. And I can't do it. I can't do it. But that's where you come. That's where you're strong. That's where you're powerful. and you lift me up, you lift us up, and you make it happen. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for helping when we're desperately in need. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to continue and just honor and worship the Lord. And if you have an offering to give today, this is your time to just bring that offering as a free gift unto God and just say, Lord, it's all yours. And I encourage you, if you're not a tither, if you haven't tested the Lord in the one place he told us to test him, give it a try. Be amazed. Be awestruck how he can bless you with what you think is less, but it's not. It's actually more. I don't know how he does it, but he does. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on each giver, for everyone who gives of themselves with joy, and for the one just learning how to give. Bless them abundantly, I pray, as we honor you with our tithes, with our offerings, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're welcome to come and give online, in person, however it is that you can.
I can see the water raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in in us. We have hope that his promises are true. In his strength there is nothing we can do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power the same power that commands the dead to wake lives in us, the same power that moves mountains when we speak, the same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us, he lives in us. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. Oh, greater is he that is living in me. He's conquered our enemies. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. The same power that commands the dead to wake lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when we speak. The same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us, lives in us. Lives in us, lives in us.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wow, wow. The same power, the Spirit of Christ is in us. Amazing, incomprehensible, it's beyond belief, and yet it's true. Wow, wow.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah. Was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, yeah. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie high, you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you'll climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, fly you won't tear down, coming after me. One more time. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, fly you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Phrase keeps coming to mind. You can run, but you can't hide. He's chasing you. He's not going to give up. Stop running. Stop running. Embrace his love. Surrender. Surrender your life. And find what you're chasing. You're looking in the wrong place. It's not there. It's in Him. It's in Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for chasing me, for loving me. I didn't love you first. I was told about it. I believed it. And I surrendered. I said, I'm yours. Take me. I will do what you ask of me. Joy, peace, love, fulfillment, it's all been there ever since. Thank you. Thank you for not letting me turn away, but continuing to harass and draw. I was just a kid. You chase kids, you chase adults, you chase all of us. Thank you. And keep on, keep on. Until all come to the saving knowledge of your love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our church has been going through a really difficult time. But God has been faithful. And I was telling somebody recently that during the week, my heart's just heavy and in anguish over some things. My best day is today. I love that I can come here and just worship God, to talk about His word at Sunday school, and to preach what He's put on my heart. And I can just all in, all God, just say, here it is. Thank you, Lord, for that. The days between haven't been easy, but Lord, you are faithful. You make the way. And that's what this song is about. He is the way maker. And I struggled. I told the worship team this morning, this is becoming a very trendy song, and I'm not a trendy kind of guy. I've never been cool. Don't know what that's like. Don't need to find out now, right? So this is a trendy song, but there is a timeliness for it as well. And so as I battled looking at it in the file cabinet, God spoke, it's time, not it's trendy. So here it is. For whatever it is you're going through, individually, And corporately, he'll make a way.
Moving in our midst, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 You're working, you never stop, you never stop working, never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working, even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working, never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working, even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working, never stop, you never stop working.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. We love you. We're here to serve you. We're here to bid your will. Listen and obey. One of the greatest gifts we can give you, one of the greatest things we could ever accomplish, is obedience to your will. And so here we are today, trusting that you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. And we're going to find our way. We are finding our way. As individuals, we're finding our way because of who you are. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody have a word from the Lord today? It may not be a message of tongues. It could be. Has God given you something? I just sense that right now. Someone might have a word. We'll wait just a few moments. Doesn't have to be with King James language, don't worry. God's given you something. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sharing your heart with us today, for edifying your church, for lifting us up in your truth. You are the same as you always have been. In your graciousness, your love, your mercy, your kindness is freely given. And yet we also know that the justice and the judgment to come is real. I pray for that soul today. There may be a few that have not yet surrendered completely to your will in their lives. Draw them to yourself, Lord. Don't give up on them, Lord. If you're here today and you haven't surrendered yet, this is your prayer. Lord God, forgive me. I don't want to walk on my own anymore. I don't want to follow my own agenda. I want to trust you with all my life. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to be my Savior, my God. I surrender to your will. You are now my Father. You are my God. I trust you with my whole life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Some of us have already submitted to God in some ways, but we haven't given it all. Maybe you're here today and you haven't completely given it all to him. Don't hold back. It's a dangerous game. It's a dangerous game to not give him everything. Lord, I pray for anyone who has been weakened by the world in their faith. They have questioned their position before you because of the challenges within their own heart. Lord, I lift them up. They're my brother, my sister. Raise them up, Lord, as they intentionally turn to you at this moment. Embrace them and equip them for success. By the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless. Amen. You may be seated this morning as we continue with our service. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for worshiping the Lord with me today. Sometimes it's hard to transition from worship and praise into the remainder part of the service, but there's a part of me that absolutely loves the preaching of God's word, so it's not that hard. But I was just thinking, you know, there's something that I kind of, it's like a memory of something. And I think this might help perspective-wise. You remember those days when you were courting and you were on a hot date with that love of your life? Yesterday, right? No. And you're like all just, inside. And you're like, and everything is just perfect and beautiful and wonderful. And you're like, you don't want that date to end. Remember those days? Some of us have to go way back, right? No, it shouldn't be that way. It should be every day. But you remember those moments where you just didn't want the day to end. And then you finally get to that place where you're standing in front of the dorm room, or you're standing in front of that house of the parents, or you're standing in front of that whatever it might have been, apartment, and you're standing there, and you know you got to say goodnight, but you just don't want to do it. You're like, and you hem-haw around. Remember those days? Come on. Maybe you didn't have quite that experience like the movies are, but sometimes I feel that way in worship. I know that sounds weird, but sometimes that's how I feel inside. It's like that really wonderful date, and you don't want it to end. And you just want to linger. And I think that's what my heart was doing today. Just wanted to linger. Now, God didn't go anywhere. He's still here. Amen? And honestly, if we didn't have the preaching of God's word, then I think we fell short of his will for our lives. Because I think we want to have the experience of the butterflies and the whatever you call that, fluttering inside of your heart. But you also need to have the practical understanding to equip you for the next day. You can't live on the high of the emotion of that moment forever. It does fade, but his steadfastness never fades. And the truth of God's word goes with us. Even when we don't feel it, he's there. And so I'm okay with transitioning, is what I'm saying. I do want to give some announcements real quickly for all members. Stay for the Pot Bless meal time following the service, and the meeting will start as soon as possible after we're done eating. And I know that the ladies would prefer, and the men who are helping with cleanup would prefer, that we don't rush into the meeting and leave them behind. Amen? And so many hands make light work, so when we're done eating, we'll do our best to gather things up and get them organized in such a way that we can start in a timely fashion. So all helping hands would be appreciated. And we'll get the meeting started as soon as possible after our meal. And the meeting is our annual business meeting. It's an important one. We have 3 open deacon positions that will be voted on. We have some appointed positions that will be ratified. And also we have the vote about which name is the preferred of 3 that are presented for a possible name change.
And that does not determine that we change our name at that point. We will then vote after that whether or not to officially change the name of our church. And I will share a little bit more about it when we get to that time. But it's actually in our minutes from last year that described why this has been a discussion. And so when you get your packets after the service today and getting ready for this the meeting, please read your packets prior to the meeting. Reflect on the reasons why, and we can have a good discussion about the name change and why it's come up. So we'll go from there. So that's important. We all also have other things happening with the Real Gals meeting for their leadership team, men's breakfast, Common Ground. Common Ground is a week after its normal week because we have a band coming, and they're a Christian contemporary slash rock band. And I don't know what that means until I see them, because I've heard rock and I've heard rock. Right? I mean, everybody's like, Elvis Presley is rock, right? So is Metallica and those other bands that I don't know anything about. But they're like, ah! You know, that's rock. Did you know that? I think they're not, and I've had fun with my kids about this. Jesus loves you! Ah! I mean, that to me just, I don't get it. Ooh, he loves me. I'm so scared. But there's bands that do that. It's like, right? Am I right? Yeah. My son has told me all about it. Yeah! I'm sorry. I can't relate. But if it's got a really good tempo, some great drums, you know, I love the drums and the electric guitar like the 80s, like Bill and Ted's. Excellent Adventure. Yeah, let's bring it. So I don't know what this is. I honestly don't. But it's going to be good. And so we're actually inviting not just the youth groups to come, but all families are welcome to join. And there's going to be food at 6:30, concert at 7, and we'll just see what happens. I'm praying for a huge turnout for that. Board meeting of February 15th, Ladies Coffee Winter Retreat. And we do have the sign-up sheets for that. The cost is $60, and those should be on the desk in the foyer. So there you go. That's our announcements. And I'm going to dismiss the kids for BGMC today. Oh, yes. Oh, what is it? Second Thursday of the month is Children's Ministry Leadership Meeting. Okay. Okay, thank you for that. And I'm guessing it's not on the calendar yet, or if it is, I didn't see it. So, okay, it is on there. Okay, we just didn't get it in there? All right. All right, that's good. Great announcement. Thank you for getting that out there. Turn with me to Joel chapter 2. Woohoo, isn't this exciting? Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. And we're going to talk about vision today. I believe it's very relevant for this time, this day, for our church, and I'm going to share a little bit about the background of why God brought this to my heart this week, and we're going to just be inspired and encouraged. I want to look at Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through verse 32, and it says this, "And it shall come to pass afterward." What in the world is afterward, right? It shall come to pass after what? Well, actually, a whole bunch of things. The prophecy that was just given is pretty huge. It's pretty amazing. And over a period of time, when Israel is finally restored to its place in such a way that the word of God can be fulfilled, this is what's going to happen. And I don't have time to tell you about what the afterword is referencing. So if you want to take the time to study the book of Joel, you can do that. But for now, trust me, it's a big deal. It says, afterward, what's going to happen? I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Pretty exciting. Even on the male and female servants. Everybody said amen to that. All the ladies said amen to that. God is going to use the ladies in a powerful way along with the men. That's pretty cool. In those days, I will pour out my spirit. What are those days? Well, we'll talk about it. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. Woo, okay. This is interesting. The sun shall be darkened to turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. This is almost an impossible text to totally unpack in one service. I'm not going to try to do that because there's too much going on. But I am going to highlight some things and help you along the way to see something that's pretty cool. So let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the vision you gave to the prophet Joel. Thank you for helping us to see some interesting facts around this prophecy and all that took place. And thank you for speaking to us even yet today. For we are fulfilling what you have promised. We do have dreams. We have visions. We are used by the power of your Holy Spirit. This is the day of some of the fulfillment of this prophecy. I pray, Lord God, that you will help us to understand, to grasp, and to step out in faith with our own visions and dreams of your Holy Spirit leading. And I pray, Lord God, you'll help me to speak in such a way that we're all inspired to follow you. Give me your words, not my own. In Jesus' name, amen. Vision. When I first came to Glendive, I'm just going to give a little background. I didn't plan to say this, but I'm going to anyway. I think God wants me to say some extra details. For 2 years, Tina and I struggled with a question of what. We were in a solid, wonderful, small church in Clark, South Dakota. Godly, beautiful people. Honestly, one of the healthiest churches I've ever had an experience with. I would say it's easily 80% of our congregation was involved in ministry of some kind. The average today in most churches is less than 50%. It usually borders around 20 to 40%. And I share that with you to say this. It wasn't very smart to leave such a great church. Right? I mean, all practical reasons, why? Why would I say, ooh, things are going well, we're growing, we have Spanish ministry, I have interpreters for every service that speaks into Spanish, and we have anywhere from 2 to 15 people sitting in our pews every week that don't know English, that are learning the gospel of Jesus Christ, people are getting saved, we have this amazing outspreading ministry, our kids program was to die for, everything was going really well, and why in the world would we feel unrest in our spirit? Because God is God, right? And so for 2 years, we battled with what is God asking of us, because I didn't know. I still remember driving a bus on the way to a track meet, and I was just wrestling with God because I was saying, God, please tell me what this is. I don't understand. And as I drove, he didn't say anything. He just basically said, don't worry, it'll all happen in its time. And so I was like, okay, fine, whatever. Finally, the day came where something actually happened beyond what has been happening. God actually said, it's time to start looking for a church. 2 years, we battled with this and struggled with what this was. Because I actually was taught, which was a great teaching, by the way, after you've been in ministry with the church for about 10 years, you need to become the new pastor of your own church. In other words, the church doesn't need to change, the pastor does. Because you've been around and you've done and you've relied on yourself and your own vision and dreams and personalities. It's time to be a new pastor to your own church. And it's rather than go through the whole leaving and re-election process and then after 5 years you finally gain trust, why don't you be the new pastor? And I thought, that's a great teaching. I love it. So for 2 years I was trying to be the new pastor of my own church. And I really believe that that could be the answer, but ultimately God said it's time to look and see what's available And just on a whim, I thought, you know, we stopped in Glendive, Montana one time on a vacation back in 2001. We swung through Yellowstone and came around, and our last stop was up there by the hotel where they had little cabins, and we splurged. Rather than stay in the tent, which we've done for 2 weeks, let's really splurge and have a cabin. And so we did that here in Glendive. I go, huh, Montana. Boom, there's Glendive. Whoa, Glendive's available. Glendive's cool. We like Glendive. and so I had my resume pretty well set, so I sent it, and Shane was like, what? How'd you even know? Because I was really early in the process, earlier than he even thought the word was out that your pastor had resigned and you would be in the process. Since coming to this church, and prior to that, I was actually told, don't go there. Don't go to Glendive. There's just too many things, too many problems. And it'll be a tough place to serve. Now you're all looking at me like, oh, that's terrible. You don't know anything, and yet you're being told, stay away. Oh. There's another church that we were checking out, and the perception was, this church is solid. They've got everything together. Programs are running fine. Really, all they need is someone to get behind that pulpit and preach the Word of God. Because everything else is a well-oiled machine. It's working fine. And here was my takeaway. So what you're saying is they don't need a pastor. Glendive does. That's what God spoke to my heart. And so through lots of different prayers and challenges, we went through the process, and here we are. When I first came, I was pleasantly surprised at how wonderfully we were received, how much we fell in love with you and our community, and the challenges that were there were not insurmountable. As a matter of fact, with the grace of God, we worked through things in a way that was miraculous, to a place where this body of believers became a welcoming committee for anyone that came through the doors. It didn't happen overnight. But this church has become a new family of God bound together with love that I rejoice in God over. But most of the first few years of our ministry were spent really focusing on you and me together. Because we needed healing. We needed a foundation. For 3 years, people asked me, so how's things in Glendive? I said, it's great. We're laying rebar and we're getting ready for the concrete. That's what God gave me, a vision of laying concrete. Yeah, we've got the form, we've got the rebar in now, and pretty soon we're going to pour the concrete and it's going to firm up, it's going to cure, and we're going to have a solid foundation. And when we get that foundation, God is going to start building his church. And that's what we've experienced here. That's what we have been seeing happen in this wonderful community of believers in Glendive, Montana. And now my notes. In 2019, granted, you know, think about it, I came January of 2017, 5 years ago. 5 years ago this week, we moved our truck into the street, backed it up on the sidewalk because of all the snow, and nobody plows snow in Glendive. Crazy people. What's a plow, right? And so we unloaded all kinds of vacuums. Five, if I remember correctly. How many remember that? Yeah, shout it out. What are you doing with five vacuums? I still remember Kevin Kirschman. He really gave me a hard time. They weren't all vacuums. Come on. One of them was for the floors, you know, the spray and wipe thing, whatever that is. I don't know what it is. 2019, though, God began to stir my heart about the lost and the hurting of our community. For about 3 years, my focus and my heart was on you, and rightly so. But my heart started to stir. God fine-tuned that vision to include the unchurched and the de-churched of our community. If I've ever lived in a community where people have been hurt by religious people, it's Glendive, Montana. I've lived some places, 5 states actually. I have never seen the pain that religious people have brought to people at a higher level than Glendive, Montana. And so my heart goes out to the de-churched that have been hurt by us. And the unchurched that have no idea who we are and don't want to know. Bunch of crazy, wacky Jesus lovers. They don't know that. They don't understand it. And God began to stir my heart for this community of people. In January of 2020, at the Minister's Connection, God challenged me with a threefold vision that included exploring a name change, planting a dinner church, and partnering with Calvary Church in Weibo. I presented that threefold vision to the board, and it's fair to say, I put it in parentheses, I rocked their world. I still love, I'll just leave it nameless for now, when somebody, after I said, we're going to plant a church in Glendive, and it got quiet. And that person knows who he is, said, why? Good question. Why? We're trying to build this church. I mean, we can seat at least another portion of who we have today. We can easily seat twice as many as we have right now. Why would we want to plant a church when we're trying to build this one? Great question. But I also spoke to it of why already. Because of the de-churched and the unchurched that will never walk through those doors. Never will. The renovation project for the foyer with handicap access, which, by the way, I mentioned the very first day we visited in October of 2016 about the handicap challenges of this church. But that became part of our Vision 2020 in March, to do a full-on renovation for the purpose of making this place accessible for all. Taking a step of faith, we started dinner church last September, is what my notes say. I thought it was October. Maybe my notes are wrong, but whatever it was, we started this last fall. Today, we're voting on a name option with the possibility of actually changing our name. We reached out to Calvary Church in Weibo, which was at one time called Calvary Temple, I believe. After several meetings with the members, we were asked to take a step back. And although the church soon closed their doors after that, the board will tell you this and I will tell you this. Weibo is still on every board agenda. God placed that burden there for a reason. I'm not letting go until he says let go. I want you to understand something about vision, and that's why I read Joel chapter 2. Vision from God. We need to understand how it works, and we need to walk by faith. I just shared with you 5 years of ministry, and we haven't fulfilled the vision that God gave me 2 and 3 years ago. And that's okay. Because we're on track. We're walking in faith. We have a renovation that has opened up and made this entryway so much better for you. We have a handicapped bathroom that was absolutely needed. We have a plan. And by the way, praise God, shout it out, the doors are in. Woohoo! Dennis says, amen, let's get to work. Well, let's warm up first a little bit more, right? We have a plan, and it's actually happening. And so far, we're debt-free. We haven't had to go in debt to do what we've done. The budget's really tight, but somehow, some way, we seem to manage to make it every month. And God is so good. And you'll find that out in our annual meeting today when we go over our finances. But the point that I want to give you, number one, this. Vision isn't fulfilled overnight. The first time that I was actually told in a very ungodly way that I would be a pastor someday was when I was 8 years old attending a potluck. And I hated potlucks because I couldn't understand Cheese Whiz and green olives on bread. Come on, preach it. And let's say it, let's shout it from the mountaintops, goulash. What in God's green earth is that? Come on, everybody say amen. I figured it out. I know what goulash is. Goulash is open the fridge, look at what's left over, and throw it in a pot and stir it up and make it hot. Goulash. Man, oh man. And what is up with cherry jello with carrots inside? Please stop it. Oh. And so I have since grown up. I no longer carry the wounds. No. But I call it pot blessing because I know when we get up to the table these days, we're blessed with everything that you bring. Hallelujah, praise God. But the first time I was told about being a pastor, my mom looks at me and says, "You're going to be a pastor someday and eat potlucks the rest of your life." True story. Guess what became the bottom of the list of all adventures of life? I will never give her the satisfaction. Mom, if you're listening, you know it's true. I wouldn't do that, not purposely, because I was a stubborn child. So now I'm just a stubborn man. Hallelujah. It was halfway through my sophomore year battling God that I finally said yes. It took a long time for that vision to be fulfilled, but it became my life, and it is my life. And God knew exactly what he was doing from the very start. God is going to give you vision. Don't expect it to happen overnight, is what I want to say. I want to look at Joel's vision. Joel's writings are about 830 BC. And it shall come to pass afterward, and afterward is hundreds of years later. I'm not going to go into all the details. You just need to know the highlights. Basically, hundreds of years later is when the afterword begins. Well, if you know how humanity is, Joel is gone. He's long since passed, and only his writings remain, and yet the fulfillment of God's promise is true. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. When does this happen? It doesn't even happen during the life of Christ. It happened after the death and resurrection of Christ. That's how long it took to fulfill the promise of the vision that was given. That's a long time. How long will this outpouring last? Doesn't really say, does it? Well, yeah, actually it does. The sun will be darkened. The moon will be blood red. That is the end days, people. That is at the coming of the Lord in what we call the Great Tribulation. Jesus died and rose again, and here we are nearly 2,000 years later, and we are still experiencing the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And I still get dreams, and sometimes I'm just barely young enough to have a few visions along the way. Hallelujah. That was a joke. Sorry. Let's consider Isaiah. I'm not going to go and read Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53 and other passages of Scripture. But Isaiah prophesied about Jesus Christ and the fulfillments of his wounds, the transgressions of our sins upon him, and that he will, by his stripes, he will bring healing. All of those things took place in the prophecies of Isaiah long before they ever happened. He spoke of them and didn't get to see them come to pass. I am so thankful that I can tell you that God gave me a vision in 2020 about what this church can be and should be as we walk in faith, and we are actually seeing some of those things fulfilled. That is awesome. And yet I don't get frustrated and say, but Lord, you haven't done all that you gave me. There's so much more that you said that hasn't come to pass. I can look at the Bible and I can say, praise God, there's a lot going on already and it's only been a couple years. Hallelujah. We're seeing the hand of God moving in our midst. And I believe that we are just barely looking at the tip of an iceberg of powerful, amazing, miraculous things through the ministry of you in Glendive, Montana. Not my ministry. My ministry is to guide the ship. My ministry is to help you see your vision of what you are to do for the wonderful works of God. I am so excited to partner with you, to equip you so you are successful. And that's my main responsibility. And I pray that you grasp that and understand it. My vision was amazing and wonderful. And I will say that dinner church, to me at the time, was like, no way, that's impossible. And then I told Charlene. Charlene's like, can we start yesterday? Right? Guilty as charged, she says. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. It's like when I was in Clark, South Dakota, and we wanted to build our after-school kids program, and it was really struggling. I mean, we would have anywhere from 12 to 15, sometimes up to 20 kids, but we knew there were so many other kids that weren't there, and we prayed about it. My leader comes up to me, I think we should start right after school. I'm like, that's a really cool idea, but that's impossible. I mean, who can be there at 3 o'clock or 3:30 in the afternoon? I mean, people work. I didn't know anything. We changed our schedule, found volunteers, adults and teenagers, and we started with 75 kids. The first week. And we said, oh, Lord, help us. Wow. Wow. I was like, I am so glad you had faith for that to happen, because I didn't. I was honest. I didn't see it. I was like, I'm just shocked. God is so good to give us vision. And it's so wonderful that he can give you a vision for ministry that he won't even give me. And it will come to pass as we embrace it together and say, let's trust God in this. And let's see what he can do. Look at Daniel chapter 9. Let's see an example of this. Went right past Daniel. I'm going back. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. I want you to see this with your eyes in another way. "70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgressions, to put an end to sin and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place." That's a lot in one sentence. It covers hundreds of years. "Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Okay, well, we can understand history, biblical history. Nehemiah is given the authority to build the walls of Jerusalem and to rebuild the city that had been destroyed. And so we actually have a calendar that can go back to the time and the era of when this was given. When he was given the decree to rebuild. And you might not be amazed, although it's pretty cool, that the fulfillment of the beginning of that decree until the city was restored completely was exactly 49 years. 7 weeks. 7 times 7. It was 444 BC to 395 BC. That is an accurate historical account. And after the 62 weeks, well, let me back up. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. Well, that was fulfilled exactly according to the calendar of dates from 395 BC until the cutting off of the anointed one, which was his death on the week of his triumphal entry, exactly to the very letter of the days given 434 years later, 30 AD. And when you use a Jewish calendar, you can actually count the days. You don't necessarily want to count the years, because a Jewish calendar is 360 days. Last I checked, we have a different number for our year, don't we? And so there's a discrepancy, but when you go and use the calendar that was in use back when the prophecy was given, it comes out literally to the very day of his triumphal entry when Jesus entered Jerusalem. And the 62 sevens is fulfilled. 49 years, 434 years, and we have one more seven yet to go. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be a war. Desolations are decreed. And he shall make a strong covenant for many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate, until the decree is poured out on the desolator. That's a new word for me. 1 7 is yet to come. So grasp this, if you will. 2,500 years has transpired from the verse that I read until that ending of the chapter. That's pretty amazing when you consider the visions of God. Vision isn't fulfilled overnight. I'm glad that there are visions that are happening right now that God gave me only a couple years ago. They're being fulfilled, but not all has yet been fulfilled. I don't know what it looks like yet because God has only given so much. But as we trust in Him, we will see it come to pass. If it takes another 5 years, if it takes 10 years, it shall come to pass. And I trust Him with it. So number two, trust the timing of God. There's a lot going on for 2 years here in Glendive before I opened my heart to Glendive and considered coming. I find it interesting that the 2 years prior to the opportunity for a pastoral change, and that came with a lot of hurts, by the way, hurts that were accumulated and grown until the final moments, that took approximately 2 years. I don't see that as coincidental. I believe God had you in mind all along, and it just happened that it coincided with my heart's cry, our heart's cry, and what you were going through as a church and as a body. 2 years. Until the day came when I said, huh, Glendive, what do you think about this, Lord? Even in our most difficult challenges and the greatest heartaches, God is still God. By the way, I didn't even tell my wife this. I had a wonderful call and a conversation with your former pastor, and it was just the most honoring and beautiful thing to talk about God and His will, and He's praying for us. Isn't that wonderful? That we are partnering together still for the cause of Christ. He called for a business reason, but I know in my spirit it was more than that. It was just beautiful to talk. It was my first opportunity to do so. And I expect there will be more to come. Because we're all on the same team. We're all praying for you and for our community and for what God has given for vision. The timing of the Lord is perfect. Consider Esther. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther was in a bad place. She is now in a position to be queen. And yet, if she approaches the king without his asking for her, she could literally be executed. And to have the audacity to step in the middle of a dispute between two men who have a long history and intervene on the behalf of her people, she could also die. But who knows that it was for such a time as this, Esther, that you have been put in a position where you can save your family and the people of God. And I believe there's many times where we go through the hardships of life, we go through the challenges that really knock us sideways, and we get a little bit off balance, but we get our feet, and we finally find our place in strength and faith in God. And God says, here, this is what I'm asking of you. And you wouldn't have been able to accomplish that except by the will of God for such a time as this. It's interesting that King Saul failed to fulfill God's call on his life and annihilate entirely a people that he was battling in war. He got called on it and he lost the throne because of it. And King Agag was one that he was going to allow to live. Well, we know that that didn't last. By the prophet, by the priest, by I believe Samuel then came and killed the king as he ought to have been. But what isn't talked about is there is a whole bunch from his family that were left to live that had already escaped the land. And it's interesting to find out that King Agag's descendants, the Amalekites, are the ones of whom Haman was a descendant of. Haman should not have existed had Saul been faithful. And so he failed. And the story of Esther became our story. And Mordecai, a Benjamite, became his hated enemy, and he had it all within him to do what? To annihilate all of Mordecai's family and all Jewish people completely. Why would he have such passionate hatred for the people of God? Why would he venomously want to destroy them and wipe the entire race of people off the face of the earth? Why? Because that's what God was to do with his family. And Saul failed. And it came full circle upon God's people. You meant to kill us. Now I will kill you. Thus the story of Esther, who's put in a place to save God's people. A lot of ugly, horrible, hateful things led to that day. But Esther found favor with the king. And the really tall shaft pole that Haman was going to lift Mordecai up for all the people to see, to impale him with it, and show off his death to all the world became his own death. And God judged him. And the will of God was accomplished. Consider Joseph. And I have lots of scripture verses, and if you like, you can scroll through that just from time to time. Just a little bit here along the way. And I'm just going to speak to it as you can hopefully hear and read. That Joseph, the favored son, was treated with love and kindness from the father because he was one of two that came from the woman he meant to marry in the first place. That the father-in-law tricked him into marrying the sister instead. 10 kids come from her, only 2 from the one he loved. Joseph's the oldest of the 2. And so he's favored by good old dad. Doesn't seem right or fair, but it's the way it is. And God gives him visions that only made it worse. And he told his brothers, I had a vision, I had a dream that you are going to bow before me someday. Who do you think you are, you snot-nosed little brat, you favored, spoiled, rotten kid? And I'm paraphrasing. Seems to fit. I know, let's kill him. Well, one of the brothers, the oldest of them all, says, you know, let's not kill him. I mean, that's going too far. But let's at least make it look like he died in a tragic accident and sell him to a slave. There's a slave trader right there. Let's do that instead. Okay, that's a good plan. And you know what? It was a good plan. Joseph goes to this slave trader and off he goes into Egypt, and somehow through tragedy and triumph and tragedy and triumph, people lie about him, tell him that he's trying to rape me, but he really wasn't wanting to take her advances, so she lies, and now he's back in jail. I mean, what a rotten life he lived. I mean, he has these visions and he helps these 2 guys that were in there and then he says, oh, remember me when you get out. And they go, oh yeah, for sure. Nope. Something happens. The king has a dream. He's like, oh, wait a minute. I'm thinking about something. What was that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, my buddy, yeah, he's dead. He wasn't a good guy, but I've been faithful to the king. And there was this guy in prison, and man, he told me the reason for my dreams, and it came true. You should talk to him, right? And finally, it all comes to pass that he is now sitting at the right hand of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh gives him his ring, his insignia, and says, you have all authority over Egypt. The only one that cannot be commanded by you is me. Whoa! And it comes to pass. Joseph recognized the timing of the Lord and the fulfillment of the prophecies that he had was given as a dream. And eventually the brothers come because they're starving, they need food. And what's the very first thing they do when they show up on that day? They bow before him. And that's what the text reveals. Over and over again, they bow before him, second in command to Pharaoh, the Lord over their lives, in a sense. God fulfilled it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Vision from God, fulfillment of his promises will come in his perfect timing. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28 through 30. I'm going to wrap this up. Boy, they got lots of notes on this chapter. And we know that for those who love God, all things, everybody say that with me, all things. That's kind of radical, but true. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Well, let me tell you this. God has a perfect timing for the vision and the dreams he's given you. And they will come to pass. And there are times where we feel a little bit like Joseph. Like all hell is breaking loose and we can't figure out why. And yet we know the vision was real, that we know that he gave this to us, and it was definitely God. Lord, what are you doing here? I don't understand. Just trust him. Walk in faith with him and see it fulfilled. And I believe that even in the most difficult challenges, even the tragedies of this life, we can find good in what is brought before us according to his perfect will and his plan, because we love him and we're called. My coming to this church didn't come smooth or easy. It came with heartaches. It came with tears. But here I am, fulfilling the very call of God in his perfect will. My plan for Weibo was not to see the doors closed. But they did. Oh, God must not have been actually serious about that one. No, that's just, I don't get it. I don't understand his full, complete understanding of plans. But it's still there in my heart. There's something that will happen in the future of that area that we're going to be involved with. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it is. And God never really said the details. He just simply called me to be able to step out in faith and find a way. And so we've done what we can, and here we are today still praying. He will fulfill it in his time. Even through the heartaches, in his time. And so the vision of God is ever before me. I'm going to read two more passages of Scripture and close. And then we've got some wonderful food all ready for us to partake together. 2 Peter chapter 3. Beginning with verse 4. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. That helps to be in 2 Peter, not 1 Peter. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished." It's amazing how there's proof of the flood everywhere in the world. And it's funny to hear the evolution people talk about it. There's a lot of global floods, or a lot of rural, local floods all over the world. Yeah, it's amazing. Even the mountains were covered by this local flood all over the world. Amazing coincidence, right? Well, the facts are there. We definitely, there was a flood that covered the entire world. That's a fact. It's funny that they still don't want to say that, but hey. "And by the means of these, the world then was deluged with water and perished, but by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." God is not bound by our calendar. He's not bound by our clocks. He's not bound by our time. He will accomplish his will perfectly because he does not have to worry about the clock and the calendar and the time. He will fulfill according to his perfect will exactly what he wants when he wants. That's what was being said here. The Lord is not slow in fulfilling his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Woo! Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of the Lord as salvation. Just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. God has promised he's coming. He's coming soon. So what should we do? Be diligent. Preach the word in season and out of season. Share our faith. Explain to people why we love him. And trust that he can save them as he saved us. Don't be caught sleeping. But know that he will come like a thief in the night. The world will absolutely not expect it. But we have the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to kind of have a little tip. Hey, I'm coming really soon. I'm coming really soon. Day's almost here. And as we pray, we speed his coming. Literally, through the power of the Holy Spirit as he expresses his will to us, we can pray the coming of the Lord. Wow. And I believe that's what's going to happen. The day is going to come where we, as a body of believers with the one Spirit, the one God within us, there is only one, he will be shouting within our hearts, it is time! And we're going to say, come, Lord Jesus, come! And boom, the day arrives. But until that day, be diligent. Be sober-minded. Be caught doing the work that he's called you to do. I'm going to close with that thought. Philippians 1, verse 3 through 7 refers to the truth that the work that was begun in them will be completed. Well, guess what? He's going to complete his work in Glendive. It will come to completion. But the completion that's referenced is when we die. Or when he comes for you as the bride of Christ. You're not done until you're done. Amen? Would you stand with me as we close? I believe that we have been given a vision from God. Each of us also have personal ministries that God will give vision for. And I want to encourage you to trust his timing and keep it ever before you. Lord God, thank you for speaking to our hearts, helping us to grasp the truth of your visions. So many have been given so long ago, and yet some of what you've given has not yet been fulfilled. That's a sobering thought. But Lord, there are things that you've given us that have already come to fruition. And we're seeing your hand upon it. And we're seeing it fulfilled before us. It's a small start with so much more to go. And Lord, I just pray that you will lead us into your perfect will. And I know that you are the kind of God and Lord and Savior that's not going to just let us fulfill the vision you've given from a few years back, and then that's it. I know you'll birth new vision. You'll birth new ways of reaching and growing in faith. And so I pray, God, as we trust in you for vision, that you will restore and bring new those things of which we need to hear. To see your hand upon us and upon our community. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray a prayer over the food that's going to be passed, if that's okay. And then you just go right on down and start grabbing some food that I believe they're already ready for you.